The market is moving fast. And all of that speed puts you right in the middle of the action.
I feel the need for speed.
Trying to pick out the stocks, mutual funds, and ETFs that are your real targets from the ones that will make your portfolio crash and burn. Investment research firm New Constructs looks for the telltale signs in corporate filings that show which way a security will move next.
Warning, warning.
Whether it is flying a true course or misleading the investment public about its prospects.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
New Constructs separates all securities into those that are attractive and the ones that are, well, dangerous.
Danger, danger.
Every Monday on Money Life, company president David Trainer shoots down one security whose actions he thinks have it headed for trouble.
What you have done is wrong.
Whether you simply sell it or get aggressive and sell it short, you'll want to know which securities to have on your radar as Money Life enters.
That's right. Welcome to the Danger Zone on Money Life. We brought out the old intro out of mothballs because, of course, last week we celebrated our 8th anniversary of the show. So we're bringing out a few of our old intros just to play them once in a while. We're not going to do it very often, and we'll maybe not play that again for at least a year, but we kind of love that, and we've been working with David Trainer and the guys at New Constructs for a long time. Why? Because their research is fabulous, and it's very different. It evaluates securities on a scale of most attractive to most dangerous, but it's about cash flow analysis meeting forensic accounting. At New Constructs, they dig in at the bottom, and they work their way up. So if you find something where it looks good on the surface level, where the numbers appear good, but they find that it's misleading and dangerous from their perspective.
Danger, danger.
Yeah. And the flip side of that, by the way, is if something looks like it might be headed for trouble, and instead they take a look and go, no, you know, this is undervalued and what have you.
You are so good looking.
Yep, that puts them in the attractive camp. And today, because we've been going through the coronavirus quarantine saying we need to give you something to feel good about, we're going to be talking about long opportunities again. But if you want to get more information on whatever we discuss here, they blog about their Danger Zone picks at newconstructs.com, so you can always get more information there. They're on Twitter at newconstructs. David Trainer, great to have you back on the show.
It's great to be back, Chuck. Thank you.
Who's in the attractive zone this week?
We've got Southwest Airlines and Omnicom Group.
Southwest Airlines and Omnicom Group. That's Love, L-U-V, and Omnicom, O-M-C. So what you're suggesting is that those companies, they're headed for a soft landing. What's going on?
Yeah, I think that what's important, you know, on the flip side of our typical analysis danger zone is this mentality or this idea that, look, it's important to be fearful when others are greedy and greedy when others are fearful. And look, I'm of the belief that our economy is going to survive this. Humanity is going to survive this, and we're going to get back to some semblance of normal. So what we've been doing is scouring the landscape for the safest but best investments in that environment. And by that environment, I don't mean to say we're not going to see a severe and somewhat prolonged economic decline or dip in performance, but I don't think it's permanent. And so what we're doing is going out and we're finding stocks or companies, as we have the last few weeks, whose stock prices imply that the dip will be permanent. And so these stocks represent great opportunities if you believe in any kind of a rebound. And in particular, these stocks are all also, we also check the balance sheets and cash flow. They're all have plenty of cash on their books to survive significant amounts of time with zero revenue, even though we don't think that's ever going to be the case. So the downside here is really, really limited. They all have really strong balance sheets. They all came into the situation as industry leaders whose profits were strong and increasing, and they have valuations that imply we're never going to make it out of this.
You and I always talk about what's going to be the catalyst, and you can make cases in both directions. And, you know, Southwest, I think about obviously the airlines, we're waiting to see what's going to happen, but it may be tough for them to profit if we come back from this and they say, oh, you know, you can only sell two seats in an aisle. You can't sell a middle seat unless it's a family or what have you, you could see some things that would keep them impaired. Is the catalyst here a case where we have to go back to like full on everything's normal? Or can these companies do well, not just by surviving because of the strong balance sheet, but even as we get through whatever transition, we get back to normal?
Yeah, I mean, the stock prices effectively imply, for example, at Southwest at the current level, that they're never going to get back even to their 2014 levels of profits. So you're asking me, can they survive with a one-third, you know, impact to capacity for a certain amount of time? And I think the answer is yes, they can survive. And the big benefit with Southwest Airlines is that they're the best-in-class business model. So whatever the future of airlines look like, Southwest is best positioned to handle that because they're the low-cost operator and best operator in the business. At this current price, you're getting something that's implying or looking to a doomsday scenario. And yeah, it's not going to necessarily all come back on at once, but I think it comes back. I don't think we're permanently living in this sort of fear of infecting each other. And you know, let's face it, if you're on an airplane, the difference between two aisle seats next to each other and a middle seat is just not that big a deal.
And for Omnicom, how out of whack is the valuation on Omnicom?
Omnicom is in a very similar situation. I think all of our picks have always been around like 2013 or 14. But for Omnicom, their price implies they won't get back to 2004 levels.
Wow. So yeah, I
so
need to ask a question.
You're losing like 15 years of profitability.
I need to ask a question. I want to frame it in regards to something that we had on the show last week, which is we had one guest who came on and said, hey, you hear about buying things that are beaten up and buying on the dips, and that's fine, but he didn't see many low-risk buying opportunities out there among the dips that we're seeing and the downturns. And then I had another guest on who said, no, no, no. You want to go where the blood's running in the streets. Those things have been priced so well that they are effectively low-risk buying opportunities. I mean, is that basically what you're saying? Is that, you know, at this point, so much of the downside's been taken out that really what you're talking about is, you know, this is filet mignon after you've trimmed it kind of thing, and there's no fat left, there's just good meat to be had?
Yeah, Chuck, I mean, look, the problem with this idea of low-risk buying opportunities is that's become effectively a misnomer and, in a lot of ways, a completely crowded trade that doesn't exist anymore. What I mean by that is this whole move towards passive investing. People want to have their cake and eat it too, right? They want return without risk. And so everybody piled into ETFs and indexes over the last several years to the point where that's become such a crowded trade that there's no return left in there. And we've seen this phenomenon manifest in the sort of the ridiculous valuations of some of the big popular stocks. And what I'm telling you right now is there's no such thing as return without risk. This idea of low risk buying opportunity, I mean, it doesn't get any better than what I just talked about, but I'm not disingenuous enough to tell people that this is truly low risk or no risk. There's no such thing as low risk in the stock market. You get in the stock market because you're willing to take risk. You don't want risk? Buy treasuries. You want lower risk? Buy bonds. If you want real return, that's why you get into stocks, but you don't do so without risk. And that's something I think too many people have been conditioned to believe. The takeaway here is that when it comes to stocks, these are about as good a deal as you can get, but that doesn't mean there's no risk because there's no such thing as no risk in the stock market.
Great stuff as always, David. Thanks so much for doing it. We're always looking at the risk. That's why we're trying to separate out the danger from everything else. And again, our danger zone issues today, well, they're long ideas. They're in the attractive zone. It's Southwest Airlines, LUV, and Omnicom Group, OMC. If you're looking for long ideas, but you have to understand the risks, that's what David was talking about. David Trainer, always great to chat with you. Remember, everybody, you can get more information on New Constructs at newconstructs.com, where they blog about their danger zone picks, so you can get more information on what David was talking about, see how they do the math and make it all work and more. They're on Twitter, at New Constructs. All right, we are heading for home on today's edition of Money Life. That means the market call is next. Jonathan Smucker from Marietta Investment Partners makes his debut right after this message.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.